The great Zionist thinker, Echad Ha'am, once said, "More than the Jewish people have kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jewish people." Now, for 36 years, Shabbat has kept Temple B'nai Shalom. Whether we were gathering in people's homes or in hotel ballrooms, the sanctuary and abiding presence, or our magnificent home here at 7612 Old Ox Road, Shabbat has been a constant in our congregational life. It has kept us together as a community, worshiping, celebrating, marking milestones, making music, joyfully together, reaching the end of the week with prayerful moments of connection. We're taught by our tradition that Shabbat ideally should contain three different elements: Kiddushah, Menuchah, and Oneg. Kiddushah means sanctity or holiness or spirituality. Maybe that's a moment that you feel when the ark is opened, or when the music of Shalom Rav lifts you, or when a Shabbat sunset moves you to experience God in a new or different way. Menuchah is rest or relaxation. Perhaps you find that in my favorite way, which is a Shabbat afternoon nap, or just simply in not doing what you usually do all week long. An Oneg Shabbat is not just the cookies and drinks that we have after services that are diligently prepared by Ellen from the office and served by Deb Peleus and her volunteers. Oneg means joy, as in finding something joyful and celebratory, something that brings you happiness on Shabbat. Kiddushah, Menuchah, and Oneg. Something special, something restful, something joyful. When we do these three things, we are truly celebrating Shabbat. But how we do these three things and how we celebrate Shabbat, this isn't the same week after week or year after year. And over our 36 years, I suspect that TBS has found and experienced so many different ways to celebrate Shabbat. And so Rabbi Perlin, you'd share with us some of this thought about how we have celebrated Shabbat over all these years.
Listen quietly. If these Shabbat candles could talk, would they tell stories? They haven't been with us the whole 36 years. The original candlesticks were wedding presents that Gary and I got in 1976. Tiny little towel, silver-plated candlesticks that over time just disintegrated. But one day, a couple from Springfield who had been visiting our congregation at Abiding Presence came up to me. They had four children, and sadly, none of them were celebrating Shabbat or ever would. And this woman said to me, "Rabbi, I want to give you a present. I want to give you my family heirlooms, and I want you to take care of them. I want to give them to you for your new congregation." And these Shabbat candles have been listening to us for over 30 years. Some things never change. It all began when a 30-year-old scared young rabbi went and knocked on the door of a Lutheran church across the street from the 7-Eleven and begged the pastor for two Friday nights a month. No Saturdays, no anything, just two Friday nights a month for 1 year. And that wonderful Pastor Thomas Bailey looked at that scared little rabbi and said, yes. And then we stayed for 9 years. And we went from 2 Shabbats to 3 Shabbats to 4 Shabbats to almost every Saturday morning, high holidays and other holidays, and we were welcomed with open arms. If these candlesticks could talk, they would tell the story of a congregation that made Shabbat the centerpiece of its formation of a faith community in what was once the boonies of Burke, and then moved to the woods of Fairfax Station. Shabbat at Temple B'nai Shalom was the place to be, to gather, to learn, to pray, to be B'nai Shalom. And we loved being at the church, and we felt that we could make it our home until we could build here. Eleanor placed a folding chair at one of our early Let's Look at the Land, and I think Frank took her picture, and she said, this is gonna be my seat in the front row. And once we built this sanctuary, this sacred space became a place for God to dwell with us here in the woods of Fairfax Station. It became a place for us to mark sacred time and to give these Shabbat candlesticks a permanent home. Our Shabbat at B'nai Shalom was revolutionary. Oh, it was filled with innovative prayer, but it was revolutionary because people actually came. And we found a way to initiate newcomers even as we helped old timers grow and watched old timers get old. We were one of the first, if not the first, congregation in America to say Misha Berach, the prayer for healing, at every service. Debbie Friedman's prayer hadn't even been popular yet, but we needed healing. I could feel it. It started with the traditional Orthodox prayer, and then we began to sing Debbie's prayer, and then we began to sing all sorts of prayers for healing. We piloted Mishkan Tefillah 20 years before it ended up in our pews. Rabbi Melon was here in the days when we piloted Mishkan Tefillah. That should tell you how long ago it was. We created together over 300 creative services, and we created Minhag B'nai Shalom, the custom of B'nai Shalom, which left this sanctuary and even entered dinner time, where we knew exactly how to take the spoon into the Spartans' food and exactly how to take the plastic bag and clean up afterwards. Minhag B'nai Shalom meant that we could be part of our reform movement, but we knew that we could be better and magical and transformative. And I sat for hours with each decision, always asking the question, what does this congregation need now? Remember back to the prayer task force. We studied and studied 30 different kinds of individuals. And we created our own prayer book, born of the prayers that our members had written in all those creative services over the years. Now, when we were at the church, one of the first questions I had to answer is, what are we going to call what we do? I grew up saying, I'm going to shul, which was our name for the synagogue. Many other people in the congregation said they were going to temple. I really couldn't tell my 1-year-old and 2-year-old we were going to church. So I sat in my office and I said, well, what am I going to tell the kids? And I came up with, we're going to go to services. And so we at Temple B'nai Shalom go to services. And so many people were welcomed and embraced in this sanctuary. Some started in the back of the sanctuary, maybe even crying. And each person who felt welcome found their way into our community, and many of them found their way into Judaism. And we welcomed more musical artists. We punched above our weight. We launched careers and brought in great talent. We created musical artists and residents of people who were new on the musical scene and young. We had Jewish superstars on our bima, and not just the ones we brought in occasionally, but the ones who dedicated themselves to us each and every week. We were not just a congregation for kids. There was adult education. I used to teach Introduction to Judaism in the loft at the church. But kids were important. And they would all come up and sit in the front. Look, the Fitzgeralds are here. They were like preschoolers. And they came and they all sat up front. Harris, the rabbi's talking. Yes, Noah, I know. And they listened to the stories, and no one ever looked at my resume or cared whether or not I could deliver a scholarly sermon. You cared whether or not I was in costume that week. And what crazy thing was I going to do to make it worthwhile to come to Temple? It took so much work to set up Abiding Presence, and it even takes work to set up your regular service. And so originally, when we had to bring everything with us until we took over the back closet, people were being called schleppers. You schlep the Torah and you schlep this, and I didn't like that. So I went straight to our biblical text and I said, no, those who carry prayer books and Torahs, those who do the heavy lifting will be called Levites. And they are Levites to this day. And when Abiding Presence, 5 years in, gave themselves a 9-foot cross as a gift one Easter, Pastor Bailey came to me and said, you are our family. We're going to make it removable so that you can feel comfortable here too. And then the Paulsons, who I did their wedding in 1989, gave us the chuppah, the wedding canopy, and we hung it over the bima. And so sometimes there was a 9-foot cross, and sometimes there was a Jewish chuppah, and together we built a house of prayer. And when I installed Senior Rabbi Emily Dunn Siegel in her pulpit in Phoenix in January, she stood and said what she learned from Shabbat at Temple B'nai Shalom was Jewish joy. Oh my goodness. That's what we wanted. We didn't want Jewish oi, we wanted Jewish joy. And we infused everything we did. I loved Jewish joy. I loved dressing as Bat Rabbi and the Rav in the Hat and Rabbi Rogers. And I loved doing nifty sermons with some of my favorite people on the planet. You have your favorite sermons, but as I thought back, I went into my files and I found a handwritten sermon that I gave the Friday night after 9/11, September 14th, 2001. It was a few days before Rosh Hashanah, and the sanctuary was filled to capacity. The wall was already open. And that was the night we were supposed to name Shana Charrington. And we questioned whether or not we'd be able to have anything joyous that Friday night. And Jewish tradition said, yes, we have to have joy. And so I said this that night, Shana Eve, which means beautiful life, you are our reminder in the face of everything that has happened this week. We look at this baby as a reminder of the promise of tomorrow. You are the face of hope. And we wept. And last Friday, Shana was a bridesmaid in her sister's wedding in Eilat, Israel. These candlesticks would say that Shabbat has happened at Temple B'nai Shalom, creatively, intentionally, spiritually, musically, liturgically, sermonically. People sought meaning for their lives, Jewish meaning, here in this sanctuary and at Abiding Presence, and they found it. Some of you traveled long distances, and others were just around the corner. Temple B'nai Shalom wasn't like the other temples people had experienced, right, Barry Wallach? It was personal because each person mattered, and it was special because each moment mattered. So I taught my introduction to Judaism classes that Shabbat happens. And one of them made me a challah cover, and then David Zweigel made bumper stickers. If these candlesticks could talk, they would go on and on about the young and the old, the joys and the sorrows, and they would say, for all these years at TBS, Shabbat happened.
Did you hear the Shabbat oneg in that? Did you hear the Shabbat kiddusha? Right? Maybe not so much rest for hardworking rabbis. But I'll add just one other piece of my own experience. When my time began here at TBS, Shabbat was held in little boxes. Remember this? Feels forever ago, but some of you are in boxes even now. Each of us in our own homes, we connected in our digital Mishkan, in our modern take on the portable sanctuary we're reading about in our Torah portions these weeks, how the Israelites wandered with it throughout the wilderness. But I will tell you this, most weeks for my first year, I led Shabbat services here in the sanctuary by myself. As the only person in the building, occasionally my family would come with me, but most of the time we were all on our own, and yet we were still united by that feeling of Shabbat across the digital divide, binding our little boxes together with words and music and singing and prayer. And after 11 months or so, finally we were able to resume some form of in-person worship. And when we did, I had quite the surprise. Aside from having to get used to all of you being in my empty sanctuary, one of those first weeks back, when we were first back in person, Cal Lederer was the board member on duty. And as he started setting up the sanctuary, I watched as he opened up a compartment under the bima that I had never explored. He reached in and he took out these beautiful candlesticks that I didn't know we had. They had spent that year tucked away, and maybe that was the extended Shabbat minucha, the rest that those candlesticks had to have. But now they have resumed their role. Guardians of our Shabbat spirit, holders of our stories, and many, many more stories and many, many more years to come. Shabbat has been the keeper of our community for 36 years. It is no accident that the fingerprint mosaic banner that many of us helped create with our artist in residence that represents the TBS value of kihilah, of sacred community, it's no accident that that logo on that banner is a set of Shabbat candlesticks and challah and wine. You can actually, it's the first time we've actually had the walls open, turn around for just a second and see our values banners hanging there. You'll get a chance to see them a little closer on your way to Oneg Shabbat. How many of you had a hand or a finger in creating those? Right? Living embodiments of our congregation's commitment to holding up these values matched by our beautiful tapestries. And again, that banner representing Kihilah community is Shabbat. Shabbat is the heart of our community, our congregation. It's the central time of our being together. More than the Jewish people have kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jewish people. With Kiddushah, Menucha, and Oneg, we have kept Shabbat for 36 years. And we pray we may be blessed to keep Shabbat together for many, many more years to come. Kein yehi ratzon, may this be God's will. And together we all say, Amen. Amen.